Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Hey, the 82 preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season, so don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, every opening tip to all those buzzer beaters, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and much more. And if you're new to sports betting, it's super easy to get started. Try betting on something simple like a team to win, go to the app, select your team, and place your first bet. That's simple. And here's something to sweeten the deal. For new customers, bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Again, use the code SPORTSHUB. And if you're a new customer, you'll get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. That's only on DraftKings.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketball. Terms.
Sports Hub headlines.
Bruins had last night off after a back-to-back sweep of Buffalo and Detroit over the weekend. They're back home tonight to play New Jersey. Judd Surratt and Bob Beards have the Duncan pregame at 6:30 and the faceoff at 7 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Bruins have played a total of 28 games so far this season. That is tied with Colorado and the Islanders for the fewest in the National Hockey League. Celtics had last night off. Their next game is tomorrow night at home against San Antonio. In other NBA news, the Golden State Warriors are reportedly targeting Sunday for the return of Klay Thompson. Kyrie Irving may be back as soon as tomorrow night for Brooklyn. And football news, Patriots will be back at practice tomorrow. They'll play their final game of the regular season at 4:25 on Sunday against Miami. Defensive back Miles Bryant has been placed on the COVID list. And on Monday Night Football, Pittsburgh improved to 8-7-1. They beat Cleveland 26-14. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by Feldman Geospatial, with offices in Boston and Worcester. For all your survey services, you can count on Feldman to get it right from the ground up. FeldmanGeo.com. I'm John Wallach of Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update at 7:30.
Bob Soucy calls the plays.
Touchdown, Patriots!
And so does thou.
You gotta love it!
Sexy!
On your home of the New England Patriots, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Right now.
It's like they're all on laughing gas.
It's Tusher and Rich.
Slow. Yeah, everything's in slow motion.
On Boston's Home for Sports.
These are the kind of people that take snoozes under trees.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Reverses direction. Turn and give. Harris runs it into the right side. Driving the pile. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Good mixing it up right there in that first drive. 11 plays right down the field to take. 7-0 lead early here in the first quarter. That's the way you set the tone.
Sound of something that I don't believe I saw because I stopped watching that game in the first after the first quarter.
I think that was the first touchdown, so you probably saw that
one. Okay, I did see that.
Because right. It was quick. Yeah,
I saw quick. I saw the first two.
Yeah.
But then when it was 14-3, I went out, and then I came back, and I was like, oh, the Jets are winning.
I don't blame you. There was so much good. The games were excellent that were going up against the Patriots, and I don't know how you could... Even though for some reason I'm a sadist, I kept the second half on and I watched almost all of it. But the minute the Antonio Brown stuff happened, I was just like, well, nah, we got to see what's doing here.
Yeah.
And by the way, speaking of that, we have Ted Johnson. He's here, and I have the liner here. Brought to you by Boston Prolotherapy. Tennis elbow, plantar fasciitis, torn rotator cuff arthritis. For pain in any joint, do what Ted Johnson did. Eliminate your pain with just 5 treatments with Boston Prolotherapy. And Fred, when Ted walked in, we immediately started talking about the Antonio Brown thing. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I want to get a player's perspective on what he believes happened on the sidelines, because Ted, you were saying that one of the guy's stories, probably Antonio Brown's side of it, you said that you have seen many times.
Well, players have been put in that position many, many times. When the coaching staff thinks the player's ready to go when the player doesn't, where the player's not ready to go. And so you
happened
see,
to you, right?
It did. Yeah, it did. Yeah. No, it did, Freddie. It's I can speak from experience. I know that all too well. So, you know, that is interesting. If that's what happened, is Antonio wasn't feeling right. The coaches wanted to go in, and he didn't want to go in, and so he got some of the reports are correct, that he got fired right there or cut right there, which it sounds like the head coach has admitted that's what happened. Then that's kind of a tricky spot. I'll be honest with you. At the end of the day, though, I will say this: what's different between what happened with Antonio and then what happened? There's a lot of differences. You know, one's an ankle, one's a head injury, so it's very different.
But you, if I'm not mistaken, it was before a game, correct? It wasn't during a game that someone tried to get you going.
It was during a game.
It was, okay.
Yeah, it was during a preseason.
Can you kind of clarify? Because I forget the details on your story.
Well, there's a lot, and the devil is kind of in the details. But it was a preseason game. I got concussed in a preseason game. My head coach, I got dinged right on the sideline, right in front of our bench, and my head coach pulled me off the sideline because I was stumbling. I got up and I stumbled. So I went over to the sideline, and first year trainer, looked me over and assessed that I was able to go back in. And I said, "No, you're crazy. I'm not going back in. This is a preseason game. I just got concussed." And after he consulted with the head coach, he asked me again to go back in, and I was like, "No, I'm not going back in. This is the first preseason game. I'm not going to go back in." And so I didn't go back in, and that's what happened. And then I went back to practice a few days later. The doctor put me in a red jersey and said, you know, no contact for a week. I went out to practice in a red jersey. And then after the third individual period was over, a trainer comes over to me and he says, here's your blue jersey. And I said, who asked you to bring you the blue jersey? And he pointed a few fields over, and my head coach was talking to my trainer.
Your head coach?
The head coach.
Bill Belichick?
My head coach. And so I was like, that was kind of one of those, okay, moment of truth things. If I don't put the jersey on, I'll probably get cut. And so I put the jersey on, not knowing at the time what the long-term effects could be of maybe getting multiple head injuries. And so I put it on, and that was a regrettable moment, because when I put it on, I got concussed the very first play that I was back in there.
Oh, Jesus.
So it's players... To that level, I don't think that happens anymore, but players are pressured to get back out there when they're injured all the time. That's my biggest point.
Okay. Do you, from what you have heard, have things changed a bit as far as the players' rights in those situations? Is the Players Association, have they done more to advocate for guys who, like, if what would happen to you happened today, do you think that you would have had a little more protection?
The union's horrible when it comes to that. They don't care. They care more about defending Tom Brady in a lawsuit, a frivolous lawsuit with the NFL, than they do about, you know, dealing with those types of issues. And that was my experience back then. I can't imagine it being much different now. And that's the unfortunate thing, that our union doesn't care about those types of things, which is exactly the things they need to really care about the most.
I'm curious, that when you said the trainer came over and looked at you and said that you're okay to go back in, what was the test?
First year trainer.
What was the test that they gave you at that time?
Oh, you know, what day is it? What quarter are we in? Say these five words. Say them backwards. The most basic thing.
And that was it. What is it now?
I don't know. I don't know what the testing is on the sideline now. But it was just like a memory test, you know, where you're at, that kind of thing.
And they said, you've answered these questions properly. You can go back in, despite you saying, I'm out.
Yeah, I said, no, I'm not going in. So I didn't go back in.
What did you feel like? What is it like? How did you know you were concussed?
Well, because I got pulled off because I fell down. I stumbled. I couldn't.
You couldn't keep your balance.
Nope. And so clearly I was concussed. It wasn't, you know what I mean? And so, yeah. I mean, I can describe the whole feeling of being concussed, where your vision's blurred and everything becomes really warm. It's like a warmth that kind of engulfs you. Everything slows down. Everybody's moving really slow. And that lasts for several seconds, and then things start to speed up eventually. And that is what a concussion feels like. And the more you get, the more that feeling of everything slowing down, that warmth overtaking you, your vision being blurred, it lasts longer and longer and longer as the concussions build up.
So when you were cut after that game where you went...
I wasn't cut.
I'm not cut. Not when you cut. So once again, tell me, you go back into this game, you get hit again on that first play back, you said... What happens
just
at practice?
Just to be clear, I didn't go back into the game, in the preseason game. I said, practice. No, I wasn't going.
I'm sorry, practice. On the practice when they put you in and you got hit immediately.
Well, and that was probably what happened is 3 days later when I went back to practice, my being defiant by not going back in the game in a preseason game, first preseason game, was probably what triggered the events 3 days later. Was when I tell you to go back in, you go back in.
You go back in.
You don't tell the coach, you know, that you're not going, you know, that you're not going back in. And that was a hard lesson. And I think that, you know, it's a totally different level than what we're talking about with Antonio Brown, right? I mean, it's an ankle. He's got a history of being an issue. There's a whole lot of issues there.
And so, Antonio had also been, like, you know, the week before, he would have, you know, he would have like over 100 yards, I think. And then, mm-hmm. like, he'd played already in the game. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, when you see that, are you empathetic towards Antonio Brown, or do you think that as a player?
By the way, we haven't addressed that. Now it's come out that Antonio Brown's was pissed about he didn't get his back about the whole COVID card thing.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't talked about that.
There's so much there, Freddie, right? I mean, there's just.
Yeah. The whole injury thing, we don't know. That was just what obviously was fed to what's-his-face.
Yeah. Ian Rappaport.
Ian Rappaport. So, I mean, now I've heard that he was mad at mad at the team about how they didn't have his back on the COVID card thing. So,
I would be skeptical about the injury that he's saying he had and that he didn't feel. And there's one indicator that would tell you why I would call BS on that is he was dressed. Why are you dressed for the game if you can't play? Like, if he was injured, did he get re-injured in the game?
Yeah.
I don't know the details. Did he go in the game, get injured, come back out, and he was told to go back in, and he's like, no, I'm hurt because...
He was dancing around on the field. I mean, how bad could his ankle have been? He was bopping all over the place with his shirt off.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, the whole injury thing is, it was just fed to Rappaport. So, I don't know if that has... What's the deal with that?
Have you ever heard of a player getting threatened to be cut during a game?
No, I've never seen that.
Not someone actually cut, but like a coach like saying somebody.
Yeah. Oh, Parcells used to tell it to guys all the time.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, but it was a joke. I mean, that was Parcells. You know, I mean, he was always kind of joking about that.
Do you think
stuff.
Arians might have been joking in a way to Antonio Brown?
I don't think so. No. Parcells, it was what he did. He joked all the time, you know, and about cutting this guy or cutting that guy. But I never see him do it in a game or in a practice.
Yeah.
But he would joke about it all the time.
Well, imagine if everyone he said that to took their shirts off and started running all around. Like 20 guys a game running all around.
I mean, that's unprecedented. I'll be honest. But the thing that's not unprecedented, you guys, is to understand that dynamic between coaches wanting the player out there,
yeah,
the player not feeling 100% or not thinking he's ready to go, and the team constantly pressuring him to get out
there. Okay, let's play
that piece is a real dynamic that happens 1,000 times in a season.
Let's play devil's advocate, and let's look at maybe a situation that I know would piss me off if I were you. Were there players that indeed were not injured who just didn't want to go back in and play?
Not to my knowledge. Well, there was maybe one. So, and John, you might remember this. It was one player. His name was Terry Glenn. You know, you remember Terry?
Yeah.
You guys weren't here, but of course, John.
Yeah,
I feel like that's the one player where I remember that kind of maybe being an issue.
He had a hamstring at the beginning of the season, and Parcells wanted him out there, and Glenn, for some reason, you know, I can't play, won't play. And then Parcells called him, what do you call him?
She
in the media, yeah, to try and embarrass him. And Terry Glenn, if I remember, and you were there, he was back out there sooner rather than later.
He's not the one
where
they asked which hamstring is it, and he goes, choose.
No.
That was Manny Ramirez, wasn't it? Which athlete was that?
Sounds like Manny.
Which hamstring's injured? He goes,
anyway.
You pick which one.
Sorry. That's right.
But, you know, so to be fair to Bill Parcells, because we're talking about Bill, Bill, I don't know if he pressured him, but if he did, Terry Glenn went out and had the best season of his career.
Yeah.
He had 90 catches his rookie year. Calling Terry Glenn she at the time was, he pressed the right button. But when it came to Pete Carroll, who followed Parcells, and when it came to Bill Belichick, who followed Pete Carroll, those two coaches had issues with Terry regarding that kind of stuff. Okay. That was always an issue. Is Terry hurt? Is he not hurt? Is he faking the injury? You know what I mean? That kind of
thing. Because that would piss me off if I was somebody who went through what you did. Because then it gives almost these coaches justification to continue to push people to go in. Because
that was a very kind of an outlier thing. And I can't ever imagine, when it comes to head stuff, what happened then ever happening again. That's kind of an extreme example of what we're talking about. Sure. So what happened with me?
So do you think that Antonio Brown, just completely outside of, you know, in playing injury or anything like that, I have this conspiracy theory that they're not going to cut him, is that they're going to end up bringing him back because Tom Brady needs him for the playoffs. Despite all of the posturing, they haven't cut him yet. It's been almost 48 hours since it's happened, and they have not cut him yet. So where do you think this ends for him?
That I can't imagine. I just think it would be... Oof. I think the pushback would be huge.
By who?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. People, there'd be outrage.
From who?
Yeah, people. Like, there's everybody's. I mean, I don't know. But there would be pushback as far as a lot of people think that he's, you know, he's not worth it. That he's embarrassing.
He didn't do anything criminal. He was just a jackass. Yeah. I mean, in this case, he just was just a jackass. So him coming back, I mean, people have come back for worse things, actual criminal things.
You know, you can do that, but I'll tell you, Bruce Arians it would be such a bad look. You know,
he's had a bad look the entire time Antonio's been there.
Originally, he said Antonio Brown would never be part of the team.
Yeah.
And then we got 4 or 5 weeks into the season, and Brady said, I want him. And you know what? Antonio Brown was on the team.
Is there a point in which the NFL interjects? Because is his behavior gotten to a point where you're afraid, if you're the NFL, not just the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you're the NFL, and you're afraid of what this guy might do next, because doing what he did was unprecedented.
Teddy,
and that takes some balls.
They're not even going to fine him. They're not going to punish him. Yeah. They said that yesterday. So if they're not going to punish him, they obviously don't care.
That's fair. That's fine.
So I have a feeling that this pushback people think is going to happen if they bring him back, I don't think it exists. I think it's going to be
can you believe it?
You might be right.
Because at the end of the day, when you really look at it, if they bring him back, who's going to should really say anything anyway? Because the NFL, how as dirty as it is, the top execs, people in the front office, all the coaches, they do stuff that's 10 times worse than they get invited back to. And you know what? The NFL keeps moving. That train keeps going, man. Yeah. You know, every scandal after scandal after scandal from the highest people in the league offices. It doesn't matter. That train keeps on going, baby.
It would just be hysterical if that was the thing that got him cut. Like, out of all the crap that he's pulled, like,
you know, that's a fair point. But it was so outrageous, we had never seen it, that you wonder what he's capable of maybe doing next. That's the only thing I would be worried about if I'm the NFL. That's all.
Yeah, I'm sure that these are the things that they focus on so they can gloss over the stuff that the owners do. This is the stuff that they take seriously.
Sure.
All right. We'll be back. Ted Johnson in studio. We'll talk about the Patriots coming right up.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Hey, the 82 preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. So don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, every opening tip to all those buzzer beaters, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and much more. And if you're new to sports betting, it's super easy to get started. Try betting on something simple like a team to win. Go to the app, select your team, and place your first bet. That's simple. And here's something to sweeten the deal. For new customers, bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Again, use the code SPORTSHUB. And if you're a new customer, you'll get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. That's only on DraftKings.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketball. Terms.
They've got the insiders.
Mr. Jaffe, hello, sir.
Insiders.
Maybe you know something. I doubt it.
No, I don't know anything.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jones turns and rolls to the right. Matt pumps. He throws to the back of the end zone. Caught by Wilkerson. Touchdown, Patriots. And the first of his career.
Nice job, kid. That's what you want out of receivers. Just to tiptoe that back end line. Work with your quarterback when you're flush. It's not rocket science, folks.
Hey, we're the Touch Room Rich radio program. Ted Johnson, former New England Patriot in studio. And, you know, it was a huge blowout on Sunday. And Mike Flynn has talked about this before, and Ted, you weren't on many bad teams, but when players are on a team like Jacksonville and it gets to be week 16, week 17 of the regular season, at that point, are you trying not to get hurt if you're an established player?
Yes, yes. No question. You don't want to get injured. And the thing is, the hard part about that is the saying is when you try to not get hurt, that's when you get hurt. Right. So, I have been on the 10 years I played on three losing teams. The other ones, you know, the other seven seasons, you know, every other year we were going to a Super Bowl. So I did get to experience bad seasons. The mentality at the end, it's not fun. It's just not, you're kind of just doing, you know, you're just kind of playing out the string. Everybody knows that. But a lot of guys are, you know, you can't step onto an NFL field and, you know, kind of hold back or, you know, I'm not going to play as hard.
Yeah.
You will get killed. That's the beauty of football. And I've always said this about football. You just take football compared to the other sports when it comes to playoffs. People, this is playoff hockey. This is playoff basketball. There's a clear jump in effort and intensity when the playoffs come for those two sports. In football, I'm playing just as hard in the Super Bowl as I am in week one.
Yeah.
And so if I'm getting out there against a team and I'm on a team that has no chance of doing anything and you're just playing because you have to play, but the other team is trying to, you know, win the game because they're trying to make the playoffs, I better buckle up.
Yeah.
And so every game, I don't care if you don't have anything to play for, players are going to go out there and play hard because you have to just expect your opponent to want to bury your head into the ground, just right. like you were when you were trying to play, get in the playoffs.
So Jacksonville's just that bad. Their personnel is just
they're
that
horrible,
bad.
Fred. I mean, they're that was unbelievable.
Sosie said that was the worst team he's seen in his 9 years calling games.
Yeah. I played against some bad teams, but that was they showed little resistance. They didn't make any adjustments. They were just let's get up, let's get out of here. And so,
okay, so that like is my point. It seemed to me that like it got to be 14-3, and it was just like, all right, just let's get this thing over with. I mean, like, listen, the Patriots are a far better team than Jacksonville. They're going to win 10 out of 10 games. There's no question about it. But, I mean, this is a team that did beat Buffalo. And, you know, this is a team that has – but I have a feeling that they beat – that when they lost to the Jets last week, that when it got to be 14-3, like you said, they didn't make any adjustments. They didn't do anything. It just kind of like was like, all right, yeah. Do what you're going to do to me.
What?
Doug, let's get the anal probe ready because
there's a line in there. Yeah, I don't. We can't say it, but it was the yes, right. But I will give Jacksonville this. What do you expect a team really maybe to do in that situation? Didn't they have 27 guys that
yes.
were COVID? I don't know how many guys that they had.
Somebody said that they all volunteered
Perillo.
On purpose.
Yeah, right.
Perillo said, and he was being serious, that, like, I mean, what a better way to get out of having to
sure.
keep yourself healthy than please test me for COVID. I have a feeling if we all tested for COVID, one of us would have it. So just, yeah, test me for COVID. I don't want to play in this thing.
So with all those guys missing, Freddie, my bigger point is, I wouldn't expect much from the Jags as far as resistance or making adjustments or, you know, because the guys that they had out there,
yeah.
they probably didn't know which end was up. And to go and start, you know, changing what they were doing, it was probably too much. And so they had to play with the guys they had. They couldn't make adjustments. And so the Patriots feasted on it. And so it's very difficult to really take away too much from this yeah. game, quite honestly.
Despite how bad that team is, should Trevor Lawrence still be better?
You know what? It feels like it.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. But I'll say this. The unfortunate thing is Trevor Lawrence, you know, his when he first got in the league, his head coach, his mentor, his first real experience on, okay, this is the NFL, was Urban Meyer. Yeah. That joke of a coach. And so it's almost like, you know, it's kind of like, do you blame these kids that are out of control or do you blame their parents? You know, I just feel like Trevor Lawrence is kind of, I don't know, this is I'm playing and I'm behaving in the way that which my head coach was,
he's
was
okay
got
no, with. He's got nobody to throw to. He's right. got nothing there. He's like you said, terrible coaching. Playing quarterback in the NFL. I mean, we've seen it. You can take a guy that's an Arena League guy, four-string quarterback, but he's been in the league for 6 years, and they can be a relatively effective quarterback. And you see the rookie seasons out of the everyone except for Mac Jones, who's been, you know, is in a far superior situation. But, I mean, you've seen these rookie quarterbacks. Very difficult to play quarterback in the NFL. And, you know, yeah. when you have no one to throw to and you're no adjustments and no coaching.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you expect out of that?
I say you got about as much as you could get out of Trevor Lawrence, yeah. sir, given the circumstance. You just said you thought he should be better. I think he's right about what I expected out of yeah. him, given all the circumstances swirling around him.
The only thing I was right. You're right. To be fair, I think Trevor Lawrence doesn't really have a chance. But I still feel like it's a personal pride. Like, you know, as a player, you're not playing well. You can react differently. You can kind of get mad at yourself. Even though you might not have high quality coaching, you kind of know what's good football, what's good play, what's bad play. You know what you're capable of. You know what you're not capable of. And I to me, there's a part of where I kind of understand that question you asked.
Yeah, because
could he be better? I almost feel like there's a point in which he knows what good football is. He knows he's not playing good football. And I don't see him getting upset or doing much about the bad football. I will say this, Freddie, to your point. Can you imagine, like, the coach? I never saw any coach go to him on the sideline and adjust me, because all those coaches know they're not going to be there next year.
Yeah, that's
so why would
suck.
They? Why yeah. like why am I going to go help this kid when I'm not even going to be here next year? So
yeah.
What a what a screwed up situation is. I mean, at the end of the day.
I mean, is there anyone in this room that wouldn't take Trevor Lawrence 10 times over Mac Jones?
No, I mean, Trevor Lawrence is like, he's got the potential to be unbelievable.
Yes, exactly.
And everyone keeps pointing back to, you know, the first seasons of, you know, guys like, you know, Peyton Manning, where they came in and crapped the bed the first year.
Yeah, Manning was surrounded by
talent, and he had a head coach who knew what he was doing. And more to this point, Fred Witten and I and Rich were talking about this yesterday. This is a wasted year. Lawrence didn't develop at all.
Yeah.
I mean, you might as well hit the reset button. He's a rookie next year. Yes. That's if he gets a decent coach.
And that's what, if you're a fan of Jacksonville and a fan of Trevor Lawrence, it's got to really kill you, is that you lost a year. It was a lost year. You see the other kids, all the other rookie quarterbacks developing, and you can see, like, oh, you can see that they've grown this season. And with him, it just was a wasted year.
It is a wasted year, Freddie. You know what's interesting? You almost feel like the NFL should, like, get involved.
Exactly.
okay, but hang in there with me. Okay, so think about in the past. Number one overall draft picks at the quarterback position in the past that have gone to an organization, and it literally ruined their careers. Now, maybe that's what they were going to be all along.
I can think of RG3, and he wasn't number one. He was number
David
two,
Carr.
Right?
There you go. There's
Jamarcus Russell.
But David Carr ended up being an okay quarterback.
No.
He got destroyed.
He got crushed. He got sacked over 70 times his rookie year.
That was in Houston,
the Texans.
Right? Yeah.
The Texans, no, they didn't protect him. And who's the other big one recently?
I'm trying to think.
Andrew Luck.
I
know he got paid a lot of money.
No, you're right. He did.
But at the end
killed.
Of the day, yeah. the infrastructure, that was Ryan Grigson was a joke of a gentleman.
Yeah, he was awful.
They didn't surround him. He got crushed. And so we never got to see in totality what Andrew Luck was capable of because of how bad the system and the coaching was. And the same thing with David Carr. Now, maybe David Carr was just a total, you know, flop of a quarterback. We'll never know because of how much he got beat up because they didn't do enough to protect him. So these quarterbacks, and I think Trevor Lawrence is a phenomenal quarterback. We might never really see what his full potential is because of where he's at. And that's why I'm saying the NFL should maybe intervene because I think he's a special talent. But we might never see it because of the team that drafted him.
That is pretty funny. I mean, when you take a look at it, you phrase it that way, it's almost like somebody should just step up and go, all right, well, if you're going to ruin these guys, it might be the next generational player because your organization sucks so bad. Like, there should be some sort of veto power on the coaching staff.
At least you have to have an owner that doesn't have a mustache. By the way, you just reminded me when you brought up Indianapolis that there was an article, a piece in The Athletic about Mr. Jim Irsay that speaks to the amount of weight he can lift. So I'll have to find that. I sent that article.
Like emotional weight because he's got the blues and he's able to somehow get past it?
No, man. It's about how he saw his dad and the way he can relate to the players because he's a big old musclehead himself.
I love Jim Irsay. Like this year, all it's done is make me love Jim Irsay even more. Like that guy, A, is fascinating. B, I'd love him to be an owner. Like, apparently all the players love the guy. He's a clown, but he's not a meddling clown.
Sure.
You know, because you see that all the time, and they ruin teams. Yeah. But he's just a clown that, you know, seems to be someone who gets along with everyone. The team loves him when he comes in and just does the "we will rock you" stupid thing in the locker room.
There was no more shocking interview than when we had Pat McAfee on during the Super Bowl, and we asked him about Jim Irsay.
Like,
and McAfee's
him.
Like, I love that guy.
Oh, yeah.
That guy's awesome. And we're like, really?
There's so many bad owners in this league. At least you got one that might be an idiot, but he loves the game and he loves his players.
It's it's the yin and the yang, man. There's the dichotomy between the owner and the head coach. Yeah. You know, the head coach is he's a God-fearing man. I don't know if you guys know that. He'll drop JC's name down there every now and then in a press conference. Wait, what? A head coach in the NFL. So there's a nice balance. There's symmetry there, right? Because you got the devil.
Rock and roll devil.
All right. Here's the best part of this article. All right. So Irsay can't help but, you know, put on the old boxing gloves. And he says his bouts were often staged in the middle of a bar, a scene that's almost impossible to envision today. A privileged son of the Baltimore Colts millionaire owner fighting in Golden Gloves matches at the local tavern while drunks wagered on the outcome. A win paid $35. That never happened.
Ursay's hey, trainer, Quentin, what's up, man?
Here it goes on. Ursay's trainer didn't want him lifting too much. He wanted Jimmy to stay quick in the ring. But as the years wore on, the kid couldn't help it. He became consumed by the weight room. Ursay spent the summers hanging around his dad's team at training camp, lifting with the NFL's defensive linemen. And by the time he was a high school senior, he'd bulk up to 245. At his peak, Ursay says, this is it. At his peak, Ursay says he could squat 725, then lift 660, and bench press 485.
Oh, man. Dan just said in my headphones, he's Deuce Gruden. He's John Gruden's son who
got
jacked up and goes, Dad doesn't love me.
By the way, they show pictures of him in this article from when he was in high school. And he's got big, thick glasses and sideburns, and he looks like he weighs about 120 pounds. So none of that is true, but just the idea. They wanted me quick in my Golden Gloves matches. You never fought Golden Gloves, and then they wanted me quick in there. But I couldn't help it. I couldn't stay out of the weight room and benching 485.
Ted, are those numbers that you can even?
No, tell me what he. No, Dan just asked me that. What was he squatting? I'm curious.
He was squatting a 725.
That's insane. Come on. I mean my max back in college was probably 550.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you're no Ursa.
And you're a meathead. My God.
Right.
Well, what's the bench? What's he benching
for? Well, benching 485, which come has got to be a record.
There's no way in hell that he's benching 485.
Okay, at your highest max, what was your highest bench max?
420.
Okay, all right.
425? Yeah,
this is a 252-pound linebacker right here.
Come on.
But his trainer is like, Jim, slow down. You're getting too strong.
I would love to see his whole routine. Does he listen to Guns N' Roses? Does he wrap up his knees? Do you slap him on the chest before he does his bench?
You got the chalk off your hand before you...
chalk going.
Yeah.
I'd love to know
the puke bucket next to him.
Yeah.
All they keep telling me is how damn good you are.
Bedazzled weight belt. It says Colts on the back.
Yeah. Well, listen, he was putting him 485. That was at my max. But my trainer wanted me to stay quick because, you know, I was a Golden Gloves boxer. All right, I the outright outlandish lies that these guys tell are just fascinating to me. No one will ever be the wiser.
Right.
Those guys live in an alternate reality, man.
Oh, sure.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it is something else. It is. It must be nice.
Yep.
It must be very nice. All right, we'll be back more with Ted Johnson. Here are the headlines.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Bruins will play New Jersey at TD Garden tonight. Judd Surratt and Bob Beers have a pregame at 6:30 and a face-off at 7 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Celtics off until tomorrow night when they host San Antonio. Patriots players off today. They're back at work tomorrow. They'll practice and then visit the Miami Dolphins this coming Sunday. Despite Bruce Arians' statement after a win over the New York Jets last weekend, Tampa Bay did not release Antonio Brown yesterday. And a sad story locally, former Red Sox reliever Jim Corsi passed away this morning after a battle with cancer. He was 60 years old. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by Mass General Brigham Sports Medicine. Top specialists who understand your athletic dreams, goals, and the need to get back to them. Together, they'll write your comeback story. I'm John Wallach of Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update at 8 o'clock.
Dutcher and Rich.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Hey, the 82 preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. So don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, every opening tip to all those buzzer beaters, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and much more. And if you're new to sports betting, it's super easy to get started. Try betting on something simple like a team to win. Go to the app, select your team, and place your first bet. That's simple. And here's something to sweeten the deal. For new customers, bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Again, use the code SPORTSHUB. And if you're a new customer, you'll get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. That's only on DraftKings.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketball terms.
They get you going.
In fairness, we have to make up for not watching the game.
Every day.
I might watch a baking show.
Toucher and Rich.
What do you expect me to do? Watch every basketball game?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Shotgun snap to Mac Jones. Back. A throw. Lob. Fading. Left side. Caught by Myers. Touchdown, Patriots. On target and on time for Jacoby's second score of the year.
Hey, rookie quarterback, man, came to play today, boy.
It will never be that easy again. That is a true blowout that happened on Sunday. We have Ted Johnson in studio, Toucher and Rich show. Ted, looking at the playoffs, Bengals, Colts, Kansas City, Buffalo, who would you, if you had to pick one team, who would you want to play?
Of all those teams, I would probably pick...
Titans are in there, too, as far as one of the...
That's a good question for you.
If things move around, yeah.
I'd be curious to get you guys' thoughts on that. Of Buffalo, the Colts, Cincinnati, and the Chiefs, and the Titans.
Yeah.
Of which one would you want to play? Ooh. You know what? This might sound crazy, but I'd rather play either the Colts or the Bills, who you've just recently lost to. Now, you almost want to say the Bengals just because it's a second-year quarterback against a really young coach. That combination I really like against the Patriots. But I just feel like if you get a chance to play Buffalo again, you'll have their number. If you get a chance to play the Colts again, I feel like you'll have their number.
I don't think the Colts one is realistic in the first round, though, if you're taking a look at unless they somehow end up rocketing – because the Colts are like right there at the bottom, right?
Right.
I think
Patriots would have to win the division, and some people would have to lose.
Yeah. I think that the Chiefs and as you said, Cincinnati are the two most realistic, and then you could and the Bills obviously if everything
well,
exactly
right now.
The Bills,
yeah. So it's basically those three.
Okay, so of those three, so of the Chiefs, the Bengals, and the Bills. What my I would absolutely love. I want the Patriots to get another shot at the Bills.
See,
part of it is because Bills Mafia has been coming at me for a week.
Really?
Oh, Freddie.
Why?
Just because it was amazing. Bills Mafia. Just and I had some fun with them. I'm not a big Twitter guy at all. I hardly ever look, but I had some fun with them because they were coming at me, and I guess you know to be honest, all the guys in the post game. They watched the post game after the Patriots beat the Bills in Buffalo a month ago. And they were using video from that post game, throwing it in our face after we lost to them here a couple weeks ago.
They are dedicated.
And they were, you know, cold takes, calling us all kinds of names. Thank you for watching. Like the Bills Mafia watches the Patriots post game after a Bills, after the Bills game.
You have to do their research.
you should love it. There's writers in Indianapolis who write just because they know Patriots fans are going to click on their articles.
Yeah,
Greg
right.
Doyle. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Even though it's in a paywall and no one can read it anyway. So
selfishly, I just want the Patriots to play the Bills for that reason. But the only two teams that scare me. Quite honestly, in the AFC are the Titans and the Chiefs. Other than that, I think the Patriots can beat any of those teams.
Yeah.
I really do. I think Look, the Patriots found something. I'm not going to go that far. They had two embarrassing losses, I'd say, against the Colts and the Bills. They should have split one of those games. But they didn't, and so they went out there and they beat up on the Jags. Okay, they beat up on the Jags. Still, it was a lot of good things to take from the game. If they go down against Miami and they do similar type things and you know, beat the Dolphins, then I'll really feel good about it. But I think the Patriots are still one of the best teams in the AFC. I really do.
Have you seen, Ted, have you seen Miami? How much of them have you watched this year?
Not a lot, Freddie.
Okay, because their defense, and I would, you obviously know far more about football than me, but I've never seen a defense that aggressive. Like, they're pretty much, at least they were against the Jets. I mean, blitzing everybody.
Right.
Like, zero coverage. Like, crazy aggressive. How do you if they play that aggressive on defense against the Patriots, do you think that's a good strategy?
You know what? I don't think it's a bad strategy. I mean, why not? I mean, let's face it. All season long, Mac Jones has had issues with the blitz. Now, this past week, he did not. So, I don't know. Maybe his issues with the blitz are all cleaned up. But the majority of the season, he's had issues with the blitz. And so, Miami, just like you said, Freddie, that's what they're known for on defense. I don't think it's a bad strategy. I really don't. Because it's not going to be easy playing down there because it's very, very hot. You know, the Dolphins, they're scared because when team doesn't have anything to play for, it's a little bit of a scary thing.
Yeah.
Because they're out there. They know it's their last game. They're having fun. They're not making it to the playoffs, right? They've been eliminated. Mm-hmm. So they have nothing to kind of lose kind of thing. And so there's a freedom in which you can play with as a football player that allows you to go out there and have fun and just kind of let loose. And now you're not going to, if you don't have anything to play for, you're not going to call a conservative game. You're going to just unload your gun. And so I can see that being an issue with Mac because for the majority part of the season, he has not handled the blitz well, even though he did last week against the Jags, but it's the Jags. So
this is something interesting, and this is written by a guy named Adam Beasley who works for the Pro Football Network. He's got 55,000 followers, so I don't know if this is statistically correct, but a ton of people retweeted it and said that it is. This is pretty nuts. If the Colts lose to the Jaguars on Sunday, and the Raiders and Chargers play each other, and if they tie, there would be no motivation for either team to do anything other than kneel it out 15 times each because both of them would go to the playoffs.
What both teams?
If the Colts lose to the Jaguars on Sunday, the Raiders and the Chargers would both get in with a tie.
Oh, and they play each other.
So they play each other on Sunday night.
Fascinating.
So that Colts-Jaguars game is at 1 o'clock.
It's supposed to be a win-and-get-in type of game. That's why they flexed it to Sunday night.
But if the Colts lose, if the Raiders and Chargers tie the game, they're both in.
Okay. So
could you imagine them taking the field and just going, kneel it.
Yeah.
Kneel it.
By the way, when you're...
I just envision like that scene from Braveheart where they're both, they start charging each other and then right when they get to each other, they just start shaking hands.
I mean, first of all, you got to root for that to happen. For the Colts to lose the Jaguars, that would be hysterical. I mean, that's obviously a big ask anyway.
If you think... I mean, you saw this. Well, they'll be healthier. I mean, they'll be healthier this week. They won't be missing 27 guys.
They're going to try to get Taylor a massive record. They're going to try to end up getting. They're just going to feed him and try to get him a bunch of touchdowns and a bunch of yards. They're going to do what they can to beef the stats up for that game. But still, if the Colts ended up losing to the Jaguars, that's fantastic. That Raiders and Chargers game, if it ended in a tie, then they would both go to the playoffs the way that it's worked out. And I wonder if there's even some sort of like. Do you ever see a world in which they would just both go, all right, man?
Can you imagine the push with what would happen if they did that? The integrity of the game and sportsmanship and it's the essence of
it's Sunday Night Football too, which is great. But Raiders fans would be happy. Oh, Chargers fans would be happy.
Yeah, but it's a play-in game, right?
Yeah, you'd but they're both the playoffs, in.
You're in a play-in game. So it's you're not really in the playoffs.
Sure, you're both in if you tie that game.
No, you're both in, but you have to play each other in a play-in game, correct?
No.
That's basketball.
No, you're in. You're just in.
Yeah, you're just in, Freddie. You're
No. I thought that if they tied, they'd have identical records and that it would be they'd have to play each other for the right to get into the playoffs.
No. Uh-huh. They're in. They're just in.
So Indianapolis would not be.
It would be like 6-7,
correct.
Right? Yeah.
That's okay. Correct.
All right, so they'd be 6-7. Oh, yeah.
Indianapolis would be out. And then those two would just be, if we tie, we're both in.
That, I mean, that's not a bad strategy before the game.
I mean, honestly, if you're a coach, do you consider that? Do you consider going to the other side and going, hey, man, we both win here if we just take knees?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'd be like, I'd be the coach.
Yeah, stay
like,
healthy.
No.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be satisfying. You got to earn your way in. You can't just midfield take knees.
I got to tell you, I'll be up late watching that. I mean, if it's a play-in game.
Yeah.
I mean, thank God they flexed it to Sunday night because, I mean, I got to see who wins that Chargers-Raiders game.
I don't want any of those teams.
I'll be all over it.
Yeah, I don't want any of those teams.
They both suck.
They both suck.
Yeah. they both suck. They're just going to lose.
Yeah.
So, like, what's the point? Like, ooh, boy. Like, oh, a little playoff fever coming up on Sunday night. Like, two crap teams backing in. Like, wow. You got me hooked.
I think the other teams that would get in, not named Chargers or Raiders, I think could be a compelling kind of playoff.
Yes.
Because I don't think there's a clear-cut favorite in the AFC right now. Right, Fred? I mean,
well, now that the Bengals beat Kansas City, that because I would have said Kansas City, but the Bengals just beat Kansas City. Yeah. No, I aside from those two garbage organizations, yes, I think that it's interesting because you're right. Anyone else, it seems, could take it. I mean, Indianapolis is going to be a low seed, but, you know, we've all believe in them. The Patriots, you know, most likely are going to be a low seed, but you wouldn't be surprised, you know, if they won a couple games. So, yeah, I think it's a very interesting AFC, aside from the Chargers and Raiders, which give a rat's ass about. I will not be watching one second of that
game. Oh, Chargers with Herbert are fun to watch. I mean, that's a fun team to watch.
Yeah, I know, but it's like watching, like who, but, I mean, ultimately, whoever wins is going to lose in the first round of the playoffs. So
I just feel like the Raiders and the Chargers don't have a chance to win the Super Bowl. Where I feel like maybe every other team in the AFC in the playoffs could maybe potentially win the Super Bowl. So
yeah,
that's what I want. I just think it's a better playoff if those two teams don't make it. That's my overall point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a win you're in, baby. I mean, they got you locked and loaded, ready to go. So
do you guys think the Patriots are gonna, you know, they're gonna try and win this game, even though the Dolphins don't have anything. Or the Patriots can't really help their seeding unless
they could win the division. If the Bills lose.
So, Bills lose to the Jets.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if that's the thing. The Patriots, so people are asking, are the Patriots going to play that hard? I mean, they're in, basically. Well, it's not a foregone conclusion. If the Bills lose to the Jets and you're not approaching the Miami game, trying to win that game, then it's going to look bad. The Patriots are going to do everything they can to win this game. See, is my overall point.
I look at it as the Patriots going into this saying, if we win this game, we can play the Bills, who we've beaten before. If we lose this game, we're playing the Chiefs, and we're going to lose.
There you go.
That's
so,
the kind of,
so they have everything. They have everything on their side to want to win this game.
Yes. Yeah, yes. No question.
They
have
the motivation to win.
It never occurred to me that they wouldn't.
Some people are just throwing that out there. They don't have, you know, the seating's already established. Well, if the Buffalo Bills trip up, and you didn't handle your business against Miami, ooh, that's not good.
No. And you're not going to know going into the game because you're playing at the same time.
Exactly, yep.
All right, Ted Johnson, thank you so much for the time, sir. We all certainly appreciate it. We will be right back.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Hey, the 82 preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. So don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, every opening tip to all those buzzer beaters, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and much more. And if you're new to sports betting, it's super easy to get started. Try betting on something simple like a team to win. Go to the app, select your team, and place your first bet. That's simple. And here's something to sweeten the deal. For new customers, bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Again, use the code SPORTSHUB. And if you're a new customer, you'll get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. That's only on DraftKings.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling helpline ma.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Visit the president of Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketball terms.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And a wrench. And a towel. More duct tape. A hammer. This random tube I found in the basement. Another bucket. More tape. A little more tape. Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.